Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Here's a text, Doran. Dorenson needs to start saying saltine instead of Ritz. We all know Ritz has too much flavor for plain-ass corn chip Crowley. I better put that in my pipe and smoke it, Doran.
Salty.
You can also tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. It's now time for the return of Jeff Hathorn. We're very excited about this. Jeff has been on vacation. And how are you? Look at him. He's rested. You look tan. I don't even know if, were you doing a staycation or did you go somewhere exotic, Jeff?
We went to Arizona.
Nice.
It's a dry heat, Doran.
Dry heat.
And we did a whole bunch of hikes. So actually, except for like the last day, it only climbed into 70. We went up to Sedona and the Grand Canyon, and it was awesome.
That's better, right?
Yeah, yeah. Because if you're hiking in that heat, man, struggling. There's no way. But it was, I mean, you get up and it's like 50 degrees. It was nice. I mean, I never would have thought I would have needed so many warm clothes in Arizona, because you think Arizona, it's 107, but it was cool.
Heard it gets very cold at night too in those desert climates, Jeff.
It does, but it's beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful. It's cool. I mean, you don't realize how much there is to that state. You think again about all the heat, but man, up around the Grand Canyon, Red Rock, all that stuff, it's just gorgeous.
Is the Grand Canyon cool? Be honest.
I don't know how to describe it. Like we walked halfway down it, and just to look around, like it's something you have to see. You can't describe. It's worth going. Like, take the kids, both of you, not right now, like when they're a little older, because you look at it and you're like, damn.
I'm going to wait till they're old enough and they can take me. They're going to pay for my trip to the Grand Canyon. Doran, are you trying to imply Grand Canyon overrated? Is that where you're coming?
You're barking
up that tree? Grand Canyon overrated?
I just envision it being like some big crater, you know, just like a big hole. Isn't there any rides?
How many big holes do you see?
Do they have an incline in the Grand Canyon? Like, what?
There are no Ferris wheels or roller coasters it's cool.
All right, Jeff with us on the Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Jeff, I mean, you should leave town. I don't really mean this, but you leave town permanently because oh my God, all the stuff goes down. And let's start with Donnie Kelly now, who is the manager of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I've liked what I've seen out of the last four games, the first four games of his tenure. A lot of small ball stuff. I think the bullpen management, you can really only work with what you got, but your initial reaction to the Derek Shelton firing, and what is your understanding of the players in the clubhouse and how they view Don Kelly?
Yeah, I think they have respect for Don. I think the ones, not all of them do, but I think a number of them know his connection with Jim Leland, and obviously Jim Leland's a Hall of Famer. You know, he's talked about accountability. That's something we'll see when somebody makes a grievous mistake or they go into some kind of losing streak, which hopefully won't happen, but you know it will. Let's see how he handles some of those scenarios. But yeah, I think they like him. I think there are things about the way he's handled things. And look at yesterday, bunting Henry Davis. I mean, I love it. I mean, this is a team that's struggling to score runs, put guys in scoring position, little things like that. This might be a small thing because it did happen under Shelton, but even the first couple of games, I mean, you could hear guys calling for fly balls, like little stuff like that you like to see with this team, because you know if they try to go straight up man against man, like they need other reasons. They need other They need to do all these little things right where other teams might get away with it. They can't. And we've seen that in the first couple of games. And I mean, look at the games they've lost under him. One was an extra innings, and one was a walk-off last night.
Jeff, your initial reaction to George Pickens getting traded to the Dallas Cowboys, and do you think that they replenish that spot? Do you think that they sign a Keenan Allen or an Amari Cooper or even trade for another receiver, or will they just stay with this receiving room how it is?
Yeah, I don't anticipate trade. I wasn't surprised by George. We had heard a lot of talk even before I left, you know, that wasn't done, even though the draft had passed. And, you know, what we found out really was that they just became at an impasse. You know, one of the things we've discussed is like, how is George going to handle his last season? Is he going to be mature? How is that all going to play out? And what we saw from the Steelers was they didn't think that was going to play out well, and they didn't want that distraction anymore. I think if they add, it'll be before training camp. It may not even be during OTAs or minicamp. I think we're going to see them add probably. I mean, depending on the wild card for me is Roman Wilson. Does he look like a guy that has gotten it, that can make an impact? And if they do, if he does, maybe they don't make a move. I mean, I think we'll see more towards training camp. They want to get through OTAs and minicamp and see what they've got.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. We've been hearing whispers of horror stories now the last week or so about George Pickens, the teammate. And Cabali was on with us yesterday, and he said those in leadership positions in the locker room didn't want to deal with him anymore. And so the way I think this was going to go if he was sticking around, Jeff, is he might have done one of those hold-in things or a holdout, perhaps looking for a contract, and then you've got everyone on the team answering questions about George every single day when they don't like him. It just seems like it was an untenable situation.
Yeah, and I think I wouldn't use the word, and you didn't, but I've heard people say, oh, they hated George. They didn't hate George. They were annoyed by George. And it's one thing if a guy is producing consistently and is annoying, like you deal with that. I mean, there are great players that are annoying, but they're great players. He was great occasionally. And I think that stuff just wears on teammates. Not as that that's the ultimate thing, but it just got over time. And even into this offseason, I think that's why they made that decision. So, yeah, I mean, there was the answering questions. There was the, like, being late for practices at times and showing up late for the Christmas Eve or for the Christmas game, like stuff like that. Other guys notice because like they're following all the rules. They're doing all the things they're supposed to do. Why does this guy get special treatment?
Jeff, if Aaron Rodgers doesn't sign here, and we're on Aaron Rodgers watch again, if you haven't noticed, I mean, he's been, visiting local country clubs here in the Pittsburgh area, we've been told. But if he doesn't end up signing here and it is Mason Rudolph, how much of a chance do you think Will Howard will get? Like, how many opportunities will he get in OTAs, in training camp, in preseason to potentially compete with Mason Rudolph?
Well, first off, I've got a little thing to tell you. Colony was telling me up at Pheasant Ridge, he spotted in Malibu. So I'm just saying, I don't know how much Will Howard's going to get. Like, Mason would obviously be the guy. And then it would be Howard battling with Skylar Thompson to be the backup. I want to see him throw. I mean, rookie minicamp, we saw him go, he'd go back to pass, look both ways, and then not throw. And it's like, that's all we got to see. So we didn't get to see a lot of him airing it out. I mean, would he get a chance to be the backup? Potentially, because if it's not Aaron, I don't think they're going to go scrap heaping for another guy. I think they'd be fortunate. They would settle with the guys that they have. And, you know, Morgan, the kid from your neck of the woods, Dorn, who was in for camp, he might be a fourth arm during camp.
Terrific. I know you guys weren't allowed to see a lot at rookie camp, as Cabali so eloquently said yesterday, Jeff. So I'm not putting words in your mouth. It's just what Cabali said. But Caleb Johnson, body watch. I've heard that this man is lean and fairly explosive. Did you notice the same thing?
Agreed. Again, it's these three-quarter speed walkthroughs. But there's also this, like, man, I'm ready to go. Like, let's do it. I'll do anything. Like, it's like the freshman in high school type thing, like just wide eyed. He just wants to make an impact, and it's an interesting room. I don't know if any one of those guys, including Caleb as a rookie, could carry a running back room, but you got options, including Sermon now. I mean, you've got some different guys that, you know, if one of them, if I think Jalen's your lead, but Gainwell could come in at times, Johnson would come in at times, and Sermon probably is more a guy if there's an injury or you know, for depth. But they at least have some options. We had heard that the Steelers like the running back by committee. Well, this is running back by committee.
Bye-bye, Cordarrelle Patterson.
I think he was a hell of a player. And, man, you guys watched him last year. I mean, he had that one drive against Indianapolis.
He looked great.
Like time ticked back, and he was this force. And then the injury happened. I mean, he just I would think that there's a cap reason that you're waiting till June. But I don't see him on this roster. Here's a weird one. You know, the Steelers' last international game against Minnesota, Cordarrelle Patterson played for the Vikings.
Oh, my gosh. We were talking about it yesterday. That was the Le'Veon Bell debut, too.
Mm-hmm.
So how about that, Jeff?
I mean,
and Levi Brown.
Think about that. Think about Matt Cassel threw a couple of touchdowns. The thing I remember about that game was like Adrian Peterson went off. Like, you didn't see rushing games like that against the Steelers, and AP was a man that day.
Ben got sacked and was strip-sacked really to end the game. Le'Veon Bell scored an 8-yard touchdown. Now I'm looking at the scoring drive summary because I'm a nerd. Jeff, this was wonderful.
Wasn't Matt Cassel the quarterback for the Vikings, I think?
Matt Cassel was 16 out of 25, 248 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. And you're, like you mentioned, Jeff, Adrian Peterson, 23 carries, 140 and 2 touchdowns.
Oof. You know what I remember about that experience was going to the first news conference, and Ike Taylor's like, man, I want to meet the queen. Like, is she around here? Like,
oh, classic Ike. Jeff, this was wonderful. We're happy to have you back. Thank you.
Good to be back, boys. See you.
Thanks, Jeff.
He looks refreshed.
He does.
Look at all the color in his face.
The Grand Canyon, that's what it does for you. It gives you all those impurities and like all kinds of superpowers.
That's right. My friends went on a road trip that I should have gone on, and I've been kicking myself my entire life since. Bucket list road trip across the country. And they went to the Grand Canyon, and they peed off the side.
Oh.
And I would have loved to do that. Yeah, you got to feel like you're alive, Doran.
I'm sure.
Urinating off the Grand Canyon.
That's what you want to do when you go to Grand Canyon to pee.
You wouldn't want to pee off the side of the earth?
No.
Texter, as we were talking about the saying, one in the hand is worth two in the bush, they write, one in the hand, two in the bush is from the Bible. One good, well-trained carrier pigeon is worth two random-ass pigeons flying around doing whatever. Yes, that was in Corinthians, I think. I think that was verbatim right there. One well-trained carrier pigeon is worth two random-ass pigeons flying around doing whatever. Was that Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John who wrote,
asking me?
I am. Not familiar with your Bible?
No.
All right, coming up next, a lot to react to there from Jeff, including something about Roman Wilson that perked my...
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ears up. Are you smarter than a plumber? New and improved, coming up in 13 minutes. It's very popular. As Southside Jake goes all Regis Philbin and does Who Wants to Be a Millionaire style game show. It is not Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. That would be illegal. We can't do that.
Right. Can't copy it.
I think it's Who Wants to Be Smarter Than a Plumber?
Yes.
So very excited about that in 13 minutes. We'll see if we're better at trivia than Austin Bechtold is. I shouldn't have taken that shot.
Whatever.
I don't need to take that
shot. Whatever.
We'll get to Jeff Hathorn's comments in a moment. Did you see they put a countdown clock outside of the ACK.
I did see that.
It's counting down to the NFL draft, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Gainey spoke, as did Art Rooney II at this event yesterday, where they were counting down to the draft. Gainey says there are going to be a million people coming to town.
Yeah. A lot.
Can I ask an obvious question?
Yeah.
Where the frig are we going to put these people?
I don't know. Pittsburgh's small, man.
Is it going to be like quartering the troops in the American Revolution? Like, am I going to have to take in two families of like Detroit Lions fans? Like, stay in my basement. We're going to have to put in a second bathroom?
Maybe. Like, that's my biggest question. Like, it's all well and good, and it's going to bring the city a lot of money, and that's awesome. But I just don't know how they're going to get everybody here.
You are right. This is a good thing.
It's a great
thing. And I joke and I kid. But seriously, where the hell are we going to put all these people?
Don't know.
Like, I know Steelers fans, when they said, oh, you're going to allow for cold weather markets like New York to host the Super Bowl, Steelers fans said, all right, how about us? Well, it's because I just don't know how you can put all the people here. Right. This would be a nice little litmus test. A million people. It would be the biggest NFL draft in history, which I do think makes sense. Pittsburgh is somewhat something of a mecca of sports fans, football fans in this country, as was Green Bay. But we're a tiny little town, comparatively.
Well, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people that can drive here, too. I mean, you think about Buffalo, you think about Cleveland, you think about even West Virginia. They're all basically Steelers fans in West Virginia.
Yeah.
You know, Ohio. Like, there's a lot of people that are going to show up.
You're right about that. Detroit, like I mentioned, 4 hours away, thereabouts.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're going to get a ton of fans that might come down just for round one and then drive back or come down over the weekend. It's wild.
It's a lot.
We're going to be down there, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I don't know where, but they'll have us stationed out there.
Did they say where they're going to have the actual podium?
I just looked at it, and they're doing something at Point State Park, and then there's going to be spillover fans, I think, kind of near Stage AE, between the stadiums.
Okay.
I don't know where the podium's going to be.
Right.
And if I missed it, text us at 412-928-9370, but I don't know that they've announced that exactly.
Okay.
It would make sense to do it at Point State Park. That'd be pretty.
Yeah, it'd be nice. I just worry about the weather.
I mean, dude, if you get, like this week, it's going to rain all week. If you get rain leading up to the draft, you're going to have flood stuff going on down there at Point State Park. Texter writes in, put some cots in the convention center and call it a day.
Right.
Like it's a staging area for some sort of terrible event.
Right.
Texter, Green Bay is smaller than Pittsburgh, isn't it? Yes, but didn't they have 250,000-300,000 people there?
Yeah, but they have room.
Well, and Gainey's saying there's going to be a million people here.
They have room. Like, it's open. Like, it's in the middle of, like, if this was in, like, they actually went to Washington County, like, somewhere out there. It's like...
You just got land.
Yeah, you got land. Yeah. Right. You can put people there. Like, there's nowhere for people to go.
Texter, booked an Airbnb over a month ago, 12 of us going, just about everywhere was booked already. Holy cow.
Wow.
You said maybe put it on a bridge.
Yeah.
That looked dope as hell.
That would look sweet. That would be a good idea.
It'd be like Pickle Fest, but for sports fans.
Yeah, just worry about people acting wild, jumping off.
That's fair.
Yeah.
If I may, Pickle Fest, eh.
Yeah, I'll pass.
I went with my sister. She's big into pickles. I shouldn't have.
Ooh.
Go ahead.
No, you already did it. I don't need to say anything. I got nothing. You said it all.
I was just speaking factually, and boy, did that not come out the way that I wanted it to. I'll just do a read. Should I do a read? I'll just do a read.
Sure.
You can tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Jeff said the Steelers could hold off on getting a wide receiver until after minicamp and OTAs because they want to get a good long look at Roman Wilson. I don't know what you could possibly do in that setting. And I'm not saying he's wrong. This could be what he heard. I'm not sure I understand what you could see from Roman Wilson that would make me go, ooh, he's ready for the bright lights of an actual NFL game. Like, he could be worlds better than he was last year in practice, and that would be a good sign. But I don't know what that guy can do in a stadium until he goes out there and does it in a stadium.
Right. I do wonder if they had him participate in rookie minicamp. Sometimes they do that with second-year players.
I
don't know if anybody's reported that.
I'll go back and look. I feel like I would know that.
Right. They should have.
But I mean, also should probably know where the podium's going to be for the draft.
He needs as many reps as possible. Like, to be a number two? To be a number two? Like, if he was number three or four, okay. Like, you can get a good look in, you know, OTAs, mini camp, training camp, and say, like, yeah, he could be our four. All right. We like what we're seeing. He's picking up the plays. He's staying healthy. But to be like your, I mean, who's going to, like, Robert Woods?
Right. He's going to go out there. He's going to blow their socks off.
No way.
To the tune of, oh, now you're our number two wide receiver. I merely would not allow that to happen.
No.
If I were Omar Khan and Mike Tomlin, I would go sign a Keenan Allen or an Amari Cooper, or I would trade for a, I almost said J.D. Woods. Who the hell's J.D. Woods?
Don't know.
I think a former West Virginia wide receiver.
Maybe.
DJ Moore. And I would hope that Calvin Austin could play better, or excuse me, that I've just, you know what it was? It was the whole My Sister Loves Pickles thing, okay? And I'm rattled.
Wasn't there a DJ Woods? Wasn't he a receiver for Cincinnati, like the Bearcats?
I think he was a West Virginia guy.
Did he transfer to West Virginia?
J.D. Woods.
I think DJ Woods.
Dub V. And you know what? How about this? Wound up playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Who, J.D. Woods?
He never got into a game.
There was a DJ Woods, too. Yeah.
I digress. I would, oh man, my Guardian system's going off.
I was like, what was that?
My wife forgot to turn off the Guardian system and she let the dog out back. I'm pretty sure is what happened. Now I'm going to get called by the police.
Yep.
That's a good time to take a break. We love Guardian.
Yep.
Coming up next, Southside Jake. As I was saying, sign a guy, and if Roman Wilson winds up outperforming Calvin Austin, that's a great problem to have. It's not a problem at all, but don't have him vying to be the number two wide receiver. All right. Southside Jake next.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Are you smarter than a plumber? With Southside Jake from Southside Plumbing and Heating. Jake joins us right now. This segment is very popular. We can see if we're better at trivia than Austin Bechtold. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I will not advise you to go back and listen to the first half hour of the PM team yesterday because you will find a dead body. And that dead body is that of Austin Bechtold's.
I want to see a dead body.
What's that from?
You wouldn't know. Sorry.
Southside Jake joins us right now. Hi, Jake. Southside Jake joins us now. Hi, Jake.
Hey, guys. How are you today?
Wonderful.
Wonderful. Man, I'm having some technical difficulties on my end with the camera and stuff, so we're on the call-in line again.
We're doing
today.
It on the phone? That's fine.
Yeah. Hopefully, Callis and I can figure that out after the show.
It's all good. Let's do it, Regis. What do you got for us today, big dog?
So I got a kind of a trend that's kind of a weird trend that's going on right now. Surprisingly, I don't know, I guess it is springtime, but we are getting a lot of calls for pre-home camera inspections right now. So that is a good thing, I do believe, for the economy and everything. That means people are buying. We got like 7 of them lined up this week, which is kind of crazy because normally it's the problems or, you know, the maintenance, like we were over Dorn's last week just doing a maintenance camera inspection, and that's when we found that there's some scale buildup. We need to do some little maintenance work.
Yes.
Is this like a colonoscopy, but for your house?
That's how I visited it.
Exactly. It goes in your pipes, and you look at what's underground. I mean, like I said, it's very smart to get a pre-home inspection, pre-purchase home inspection. That's going on. But I love to see that people are buying new homes right now. It makes me feel very optimistic.
People texting in, I think the game should be called Are You Smarter Than a Radio Host? Should be pretty easy. Hey, texter, screw you, man. All right, Jake, let's do it.
All right, here we go. First question. What American-born NHL player holds the record for the most goals?
Mike Madonna or Patrick Kane. Damn it! Oh, no.
Hold on. Let him give the clues.
Dang.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Wow. Remember, we do have 2 lifelines.
Yeah.
All right. A, Mike Madonna. B, Patrick Kane. C, Brett Hull. D, Jeremy Roenick.
Man, it's Madonna or Kane. I think Kane passed him.
Hmm.
What?
Now, I mean, you're not going to do the Norm MacDonald thing here, right, where I say give us the 50-50 and the two choices are going to be Patrick Kane and Mike Madonna,
right, so
are
we're
you?
Not going to use it.
Absolutely, I was going to do that, so I wouldn't suggest it.
Okay. Well, we're not skipping because it's one of them two.
I would say Madonna.
You think it's Madonna?
Didn't he play longer?
I think it's Kane.
Okay.
Callis, break the tie. Are we going with Dorn or are we going with Crowley? Just point to one of us, you silent mute back there. All right, he wants to go with Mike Madonna. We're going with Mike Madonna. Final answer.
Callis is correct. Boom. Nice job.
Dorn is correct.
Mike Madonna.
Yeah, all he did was point.
Yeah, Dorn's correct.
Well, Dorn, Mike Madonna, Dorn, Callis, whatever you want to say. Why? So let me ask you a question. Why didn't you say Brett Hall?
Because I thought it was either Patrick Kane or Mike Madonna.
Brett Hall is fourth in goals all time. He's played for Team USA.
That's who I thought it was initially, and then Crowley persuaded me to.
So Brett Hall actually has dual citizenship and did play for Team USA, but was born in Canada. So that was kind of a trick.
We stole his ass. He was the first tariff.
And hey, another little side note here. I do want to say this. This is actually pretty crazy. It's a stat I looked up last night. Alexander Ovechkin threw 630 games played. He had 379 goals. Austin Matthews threw 629 games played, has 401 goals.
How about
that? I'm
not
going to say he's going to break the record, but he may become the highest American goal scorer ever because Mike Madonna is at 561.
Merca. All right, what's the next question? Good job, Dorn. Good pointing, Callis.
All right. All right. After the NFL, what is the wealthiest sports league based on reported revenue? A, the MLB. B, the NBA. C, MLS. Or D, the NHL?
NBA.
It's got to be the NBA.
Yeah, it's NBA.
Has to be.
Yeah.
Not even a question.
Yeah. Think about all the times we talked to Craig about other markets and why that they do their numbers because mm-hmm. they have NBA teams and what NBA teams does to certain cities.
NBA. Final answer, question mark? Final answer. Might be major.
You guys are smarter than a plumber today through two questions.
Woo!
Let's go. Give the third question just because.
Oh, man. I got beat up today.
Eat that, right. Bechtold.
Since 1910, every president has thrown out at least one ceremonial MLB first pitch, except for one. Who has not thrown out a ceremonial first pitch? A, Richard Nixon. B, Jimmy Carter. C, Dwight Eisenhower. Or D, Franklin Delano Roosevelt.
I'm going to guess FDR, but let's do a 50-50.
Yep.
I shouldn't have given
it. Okay. 50-50. We're going to get rid of Richard Nixon and Dwight Eisenhower and leave in Jimmy Carter and FDR.
I mean, I hate to do this, but FDR had polio.
Yes.
Dead giveaway. I mean, he was in a wheelchair for most of his presidency with a blanket over his lap, and the American people just said, oh, this is normal. This is fine. Right. All right, so I'm going FDR.
D, FDR is your final answer.
Yeah.
You are incorrect. It was B, Jimmy Carter.
All right. Wow. Well, good for you, FDR.
All right.
Good for you, pal.
How about that?
Way to go out there courageously and throw out a first pitch. Jake, this was wonderful. Appreciate your time. As always, goodbye.
It was only wonderful because you won. But yes, thank
that's
you.
Right.
100%. And we will talk to you guys later.
All right. See you, buddy.
Thanks, Jake.
See ya.
That was great stuff. Guys. He scoped your pipes?
Yes. He said some type of fancy plumber word that needs to possibly be done. And I was like, you do it. Like,
I never, ever, and this might be a bad thing, I never ask follow-up questions.
No. I don't know what questions to ask.
Right. And that's why mechanics get over on you, too, because they'll be like, oh, the flux capacitor. And you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, man, I guess I need that, too.
Oh, jeez, I need another phalange.
Yeah.
I guess that's it. I guess I'm going to be out $4,000 because if not, my car won't start.
Yeah. Oh, the 8,000th filter that you've named needs replaced. Okay, replace it.
And then you Google it.
I need a filter.
You understand it even less. All right.
I need a filter.
But you can always trust Jake, I've been told.
Absolutely. Efficient, too. I didn't even know they were there the other day. There was two guys doing two different things at my house last week. Didn't even know they were there. And they said everything looks good, and we'll bring it back to Jake, and then he'll give you a call.
Bang. In and out like ninjas. Yep. Just, you don't even notice them.
Gone. Efficient.
So Jimmy Carter never threw out a first pitch, but Adam Richard Crowley and Doran...
It's close to your middle name.
Ricardo Dickerson did. I got it.
You did. I helped you.
I still... Are you 35 or 36?
37.
I know your birthday is March 31st.
What year?
1988.
Yep.
Woo-hoo-hoo! Eat that, Bechtold! Bechty wouldn't know! Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. You can text us, brought to you by Edgar Steiner & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. We're going to get in the Wayback Machine coming up next. Either way, we're going to do it for two reasons now. I got to see when FDR was throwing out that first pitch. And also, well, you'll find out why we're going down memory lane. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. Getting in the Wayback Machine here, Doran. We had Southside Jake on in the last segment, Are You Smarter Than a Plumber? And he asked us which of four presidents had never thrown out a ceremonial first pitch. We find out that FDR, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, had thrown out a first pitch. That would be in 1934, before the Washington Senators-Boston Red Sox game. And it was an errant pitch that actually struck and broke a camera of a Washington Post reporter.
Wow.
So a bad pitch from FDR.
Huh.
People didn't so much care. You had world wars to deal with.
Yeah.
But he smashed a camera, which means you and I threw out much better first pitches than FDR.
Yes.
Also in the Wayback Machine, we were talking about that Steelers-Vikings game across the pond, and Ben Roethlisberger threw for 383 yards in that game.
We've only seen one game close to that since he's retired, and that was Russ last year, right?
Over 400 yards against them Cincinnati Bengals.
Yep. Or what did Kenny do against the Bengals 2 years ago?
It was okay. Did he throw for 300?
I think so. Right? Whenever the game after Canada got fired?
Right. They didn't put up a lot of points, but he did have a nice game. I'm on it.
I can remember correctly, I think it was pretty good.
See, I was expecting to go in the way back machine, but now we're going in just the little way back machine.
Well, we went way back and then we moved forward.
But I wasn't done going way back.
Where else did you want to go?
I wanted to know if you knew who the Steelers' leading receiver was in that game.
What year was this?
I would not have known. This was 2013.
Ooh.
He was really good for the Steelers this year. Really good.
Jericho Cautry.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Was it really?
Yes.
Nice.
Wrong. No, I'm just kidding. You got it.
Oh, I did.
Jericho Cautry, 5 catches for a buck 03, Doran. Nice. On 6 targets. Efficient. Along a 36 yards, AB was the second leading receiver. 12 catches, 88 yards. Why do we bring this up? It's because the Steelers will play the Vikings on September 28th in Dublin. Kickoff time locally here in Pittsburgh at 9:30 a.m. So get yourself some Irish breakfast, maybe a mimosa or 6.
Irish coffee.
Irish coffee, you could do that.
Bailey's.
You know, just as a word of advice to all my friends who might be coming to Ireland with me and True Fan Travel Dorm, don't order an Irish car bomb. They do not like that verbiage over there.
Mm.
You go up in a bar, you go up to a pub, you go to Temple Bar area, and you say, sir, can I get an Irish car bomb? You're going to get punched in the face.
Mm.
Just FYI. Kenny Pickett against the Bengals in that 16-10 victory right after Matt Canada was fired went 24 of 33 for 278.
Okay.
Najee Harris had 99 rushing yards, which was a season high at that point for the Steelers. Here were the skill position players that touched the ball for the Steelers in that faithful game from London in 2013.
Can I guess?
Yeah, let's do it that way. It's more fun. Real quick, Steelers lost the game to start the season 0-4. The Vikings were 0-3 coming in. The Steelers 0-3 coming in. So we shipped a badass game across the pond for these Londoners. All right. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 Pittsburgh Steelers. 9 that touched the ball.
Oh, my goodness. AB, Jericho Cautry, yep. Le'Veon Bell.
Yep.
Heath Miller.
Correct.
Matt Spaeth?
No, but a great guess.
Oh.
Otherworldly guess by you.
Wow.
I feel like we need God Save the Queen in the background. Which is another, don't play that song in Dublin either. They won't like that. God Save the Queen.
Oh, man.
There's a couple that I just don't think you would ever, there's one that I don't
Isaac
think you would
Redman,
ever
was get. He on the team then?
No, but that's a good guess. This guy is in that category for me-ish.
Jonathan Dwyer?
You got that. Nailed it. You might get this last one.
Has to be a receiver. It's a running back.
Oh. And we've got a tight end, too.
Another. Who is the other tight end?
Initials D and J.
Oh, Johnson.
David Johnson.
Yeah, yeah.
Marcus Wheaton also had three catches for 26 yards. There's one running back.
One running back.
I'm not going to lie to yins out there. I remember this guy, but I forgot that he existed until this very moment. By the way, have yourself a game, Jerome Simpson for the Vikings. Seven catches, 124 yards, a long of 51. Cordarrelle Patterson with a catch for 9 yards. No carries for our guy Cordarrelle. Toby Gerhart touching the ball for Minnesota. Can I give you the Steelers running back?
Where do you go to college?
I want to say Arkansas.
Felix Jones.
Bang! Let's go! Eat that, Becky!
Totally forgot he played for the Steelers for a minute.
Felix Jones. So he, Jericho Cotchery, Antonio Brown, Heath Miller, Emmanuel Sanders.
Oh, yeah.
Le'Veon Bell, Marcus Wheaton, David Johnson, Felix Jones. And your leading tackler for the Pittsburgh Steelers that day, Lawrence Timmons. Vince Williams, Ryan Clark all had six tackles. Steve McClendon had a couple of stops. Underrated player. Some other names that popped up, Ziggy Hood, Terrence Garvin, Cortez Allen, Al Woods, Shamarco Thomas.
Syracuse.
You're darn right. And Jarvis Jones had one tackle, no quarterback pressures, no tackles for loss. So a stellar game there by the Steelers' first round pick.
Moms, dads, are you the parent of a student athlete? Do you want to know how to get the most out of youth sports? If so, listen to the Next Pitch podcast to give you the tools to raise an aspiring athlete. It's not simple, but we talk straight and give you the best insight there is when it comes to youth sports. We'll cover everything from nutrition and training to mental toughness and teamwork. It's a podcast you can listen to together with your kids so everyone can benefit. Follow Next Pitch on the Odyssey app or wherever you listen to podcasts.